You're listening to All in a Day. I'm Adrian Harewood. For centuries, it's been known as a big tent denomination. But lately, the Anglican Church has struggled to stretch the canvas over all its parishioners. In Canada, some congregations have broken away from the mainstream Anglican Church over whether the church should recognize same-sex marriages. They've aligned themselves with the Anglican Network, a group committed to Orthodox Anglican theology. Yesterday, the head of that network, Bishop Don Harvey, held a public meeting in Ottawa. He joins me now by phone. Bishop Harvey, welcome.
Well, welcome to you. It's nice to be talking to you.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
What was your goal in holding this meeting this past weekend?
Well, I think it's important that I point out, Adrian, that we did not call this meeting. There's a group of us in the Anglican Network in Canada who are open to accept invitations from groups of concerned Anglicans who want us to come and share some of our ideas with them and to try to answer some of the questions they have. So we came here up on invitation yesterday, and last night we were able to meet with this group to which you refer.
Perhaps you can then tell us the nature of the meeting.
I beg your pardon?
Perhaps you can tell us the nature of the meeting. You can tell
well,
us the what took place.
Was, there was two of us there as guests, me, and you've already described my role, and Cheryl Chang, who is a director of the network and who is a lawyer in her own right out in British Columbia. And both of us gave presentations. I basically told the gathering why I found it necessary several months ago to relinquish the license I had to practice in Canada with the Anglican Church of Canada and to seek reinstatement of that license from another province altogether, which I felt was more consistent with where Anglicanism in the world seems to be. And then Cheryl spoke about some of the legal aspects in particular that happens if people, be it clergy or lay, would want to follow the direction we've been setting.
How was your message received yesterday? How
well, the floor was thrown open afterwards to questions and answers, and we had no, what you would call, negative questions at all. I believe it was basically a meeting of people who already had thought much about this and had come to have some of their questions answered, and to for the most part, I think the majority of people there were not those who hadn't already come to some sort of conclusion as to what we were talking about.
You're trying to create a separate Orthodox Anglican Church in North America. How much progress have you made toward achieving that?
Well, we have to be careful about our terminology here, really. What we're really saying is that the Anglicanism that we are professing is the Anglicanism that I was born into 68 years ago and that I professed over 44 years of ordained ministry. In order to maintain that teaching, which is faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ and respect for the scriptures, that I found it necessary to take the action I took. And I think it's so important for us to tell other people of what the consequences of remaining in the Anglican Church of Canada will be for them, be it either at the level of their relationship with other Anglicans around the world, which we felt very important from the family perspective, or indeed from their own personal spiritual development.
You basically suggested that the church that you knew, the church that you were born into, has moved away from its core principles, has moved away from you. What do you think it would mean for a person to stay in the Anglican Church that exists today?
Well, certainly people with you know, following their conscience may feel it is the right thing to do. I know a number of people who are very sympathetic to what we feel about all of this, but are staying because they believe it is still possible to change the Anglican Church of Canada internally, you know, do it as a loyal opposition and protest some of the things that are happening. Others of us, well, at least I should only speak for myself, I felt that we had passed that point where we could do this. And so we want to remind people of the faith on which the Anglican Church is established and of its relationship with its brother and sisters members around the world, many of whom are extraordinarily dismayed with what they see to be an unbiblical stand that a number of the North American dioceses have adopted.
Can you tell us maybe two or three things that really concern you about the direction in which your church, or your former church, maybe the Anglican Church, is heading? What are the things that really bother you?
Well, three things in particular. You chose a nice number of offering me to do this. The first thing, and perhaps the most fundamental, is a respect for the Word of God, the reverence for the Bible, and not a revisionist approach which says the Bible meant one thing 100 years ago, but it could mean another thing today. And the second thing I think that we're very concerned about is the divinity of Jesus Christ, the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through Jesus. And we feel that it is because of those two things I just mentioned that the third thing, which seems to be on everyone's mind, and that's, you know, same-sex blessings, if we had adhered to the first two, this would not be the issue today that it seems to be. So, in a nutshell, the three things that we would put forward, the first two by far being the most important, the supremacy of Scripture, the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, and then our own concern with the move that the Anglican Church of Canada has taken on this issue of same-sex blessings.
And yet many of your former colleagues, namely someone like Desmond Tutu, would suggest that they believe in the supremacy of the Scripture, they believe in the uniqueness of Jesus, but they also think that perhaps you are obsessed with sex, and that really the Church needs to be talking about things like poverty and talking about a lot of the kind of social conditions that often, you know, leave people leaving lives of penury and privation. How do you respond to someone like a Desmond Tutu?
I would say, amen to the issues of poverty and social justice and all of those things. The Church has to be deeply concerned about this, but the Church also has to be concerned about salvation, which is its prime function. In order to be faithful to this Jesus, you have to follow what he has said, and you have to follow the words of Scripture. And Scripture, regardless of what some people may say, makes it quite clear as to what our issue should be on this. The reason it appears as if we're obsessed by sex is that is the aspect of our concerns that the public, the media in particular, seem to want to exemplify. And keep saying, oh yes, well, the network, that's the group of homophobics who are trying to stop same-sex blessings. What we are basically as a network is trying to proclaim the Word of God, and with all due respect to Desmond Tutu, who I think has done marvelous things and whom I admire immeasurably, he does have his short-sightedness as well. And if I have to choose between the Word of God and the Word of Desmond Tutu, I know who I'm going to choose.
As I mentioned in the introduction, the Anglican Church has a tradition of being a big tent church, in that it's embraced a diverse range of views. Is it not possible to agree to disagree on some of these issues?
Well, we've been agreeing to disagree over a number of issues, and we certainly do that on a number of minor issues. But when it comes to the major things like the ones I've already identified, no, we cannot be part of the same body that's proclaiming something that's contrary to the Word of God. It's true that you might want to identify us as a big tent or having a big umbrella, and it's true, I don't know of any church which probably has a wider one, but that tent or that umbrella does have a perimeter to it. And when you go beyond that perimeter, you can no longer say you're being truthful to Scripture, and consequently, neither are you being truthful to what Anglicanism should be.
I did want to touch on something that's been getting a lot of attention over these past couple of days, and that's, of course, the comments made by Rowan Williams, the Archbishop of
yes.
Canterbury. He made some comments about the role, that rather contentious comments, that the role that Islamic law or Sharia law could be playing in an evolving multicultural Britain. What do you make of his remarks?
Well, I wonder sometimes, who's advising the Archbishop of Canterbury on matters like this. It almost seems as if there are people who if anyone is advising him. On the other hand, it could be, I suppose, that these are his own views and he's not taking advice from other people. Now we're we've been down this road in Canada already. I believe Toronto had, or maybe it's the whole province of Ontario that debated this issue very much.
Yes, Ontario. Yes.
Yeah, and it's an area where I must admit I've been so involved with the three that I've just pointed out to you that caught me quite off guard. But from what I've been reading about it internationally. Whether he's taking fully in context or not, is getting a very, very negative response. I think in the Times, the London Times, Ruth Ledhill, a religious correspondent, had her headline, has the Archbishop of Canterbury gone bonkers? As only probably a fellow Englishman could describe it.
If truth be told, the Times is rather conservative.
What's that?
If truth be told, the Times is a rather conservative.
Well, it could be. I won't want to go into that, except that almost everything I've read, and that's basically through the internet, has been that a considerable amount of despair over this particular statement, especially at a time when the communion that he's trying to hold together is already racked by a number of other critical issues over which he probably has more control, if he mind to exercise it, than does the issue that he has chosen now. I just hope it wasn't a diversion from some of these other things.
Bishop Harvey, I have one final question. Conservative sure. Anglicans such as yourself are getting ready for a meeting in June in advance of Lambeth, the 10-year meeting mm-hmm. of worldwide Anglican bishops. What do you hope that meeting will achieve?
Well, the very fact that it appears now, if it's being held in Jerusalem, is to remind us of our foundations, to remind us of our roots, to walk where Jesus walked and to talk where he talked, and to try to rekindle again within Anglicanism for those areas that have lost it, a sense of the majesty and the glory and the humility of Jesus Christ, and to try to bring our church back to the fundamentals, to the essentials, as the phrase we've used quite often, on which it was built, because as we depart from these essentials, we'll find ourselves moving more and more out into a wilderness.
Bishop Harvey, it's good of you to join us this afternoon. Thank
you for the opportunity. It's good to talk to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bishop Don Harvey is the moderator of the Anglican Network in Canada.